On Thursday night, we'll be observing Passover, as we just heard right here in the hall for all the baptized members. And I'm sure we've been thinking about preparing for the Passover and thinking about how to do that. And as we get close to Thursday, I know we aren't just starting, but I thought as we get close to Thursday, and this is the last message before the Passover, that you'll hear, at least on the Sabbath, you may listen to something on the internet potentially, but this is the last message live that you'll hear. I thought it'd be useful to provide a message giving the areas of focus to help us over the next 5 days to prepare for Passover. So I have five areas to help us in our preparation. These probably aren't going to be new areas for you to consider, but I thought I'd just put them together in a group. There may be some other ones that you would add, but I thought I'd at least put five together, areas of focus, to help us prepare for Passover in the next few days. So the first one I have is remembering. Remembering. The first area of focus is remembering. To start, let's turn to our scripture, Deuteronomy 16:1, as we focus on the area of remembering. So Deuteronomy 16, and we'll start in verse 1. Here it says, in verse 1, observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover to the Lord your God. For in the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. Therefore, you shall sacrifice the Passover to the Lord your God from the flock and the herd in a place where the Lord chooses to put his name. You shall eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread with it. That is the bread of affliction. For you came out of the land in haste, that you may remember the day in which you came out of the land of Egypt all the days of your life. No one translation put it, remember your departure from Egypt for your entire life. So focus area number one, and a good starting point is in our preparation for the Passover, is to remember similar in the way the Israelites, our departure from Egypt, who were slaves to Pharaoh and were taken out of bondage. Do we think back before we were called and baptized and consider the path we were on? Actually think the path we were on. Where were we going? What was important in our life? Where were we going to end up? Do we remember what our life was like and what path we were going? That we marched in our own way to the tune of the Pharaoh of this world. The Israelites would remember all the days of their life that they were rescued from bondage. Now, a good Bible study, if you were to do one, and as I was looking at this, I thought this might be a good Bible study for you, is to go through the Bible and look at all the times where God says, do not, when things are good and things are maybe going great for you, remember all the times he says, do not forget that I am the God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, as it says in Deuteronomy 16:12. But it says it many, many times. God references Egypt because it reminded the Israelites what their destiny was going to be, or what it was, or where they were going. They had no destiny. They were in bondage to the Egyptians. Generation after generation was going to be in bondage to the Egyptian leader, the Pharaoh. That was their destiny until God rescued them. Similarly, we should take time out and time to think about our path that we were on before God called us, and review what new path we're on, and what course we were on, and how he took us away from that path of bondage. The Apostle Paul had similar themes in his writings. He starts in Galatians. You don't have to turn there. Let's read it to you. Galatians 1. He says, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God, the Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. It is a reminder to remember that we have been delivered. Let's turn to Ephesians 2. We'll see the same idea. I think we know the scripture well, but let's turn to it. Ephesians 2 is a reminder of the course that we're on, the path that we're on, and how we were rescued from bondage. Ephesians 2, verse 1. He says, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world." We're all on this boulevard, this path. And I think of, I visualize this. We're all kind of walking down this path. And many people, billions of people are walking down this path. "According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." This was the path that we were on. We were on a course of this world, dead in trespasses and sin. Now, we may not have known we were on a course, or whose course we were on, but we were on a course. For some, this course may have had some nice moments and experiences, but we were all on a path that was contrary to God's ways and laws. We were on a path that did not have a great destination. Just like the Israelites, who were in bondage and subject to the Pharaoh. The Israelites did not have a promising future under the Pharaoh. Without God, they would have been stuck in Egypt with no way of escape, generation after generation after generation, slaves to the Pharaoh. Part of the Passover for the Israelites was to look back, and remember what their lives were like before God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob decided to bring them out of bondage and to fulfill the promises of bringing them into the promised land. As we approach Passover, we should think back and think about where we were, what was going on, and how God brought us out from being a subject to the Pharaoh of this world to a promise of something much, much better. The focal area of preparing for Passover is remembering God's deliverance. Another aspect of remembering at Passover, as we prepare, is remembering what was done personally for us to make it possible to be delivered from sin. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. Missed a favorite this last week, and we'll read it at Passover, but let's read it right now. 1 Corinthians 11, and we'll start in verse 23. And here Paul says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink. Drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" Passover is a time we remember what Jesus, our Lord, did for us. The bread and the wine are taken in remembrance for what Jesus did for you and me. Passover is a very personal in that way. It's very personal. We think about what God chose to do and his son did for us, his sacrifice. And that our sins have been forgiven and we've had a chance. And by through that, we can be reconciled back to God and have a relationship with him. The sins are what separate us. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can have that relationship restored and reconciled. It is a memorial of the death of Jesus, and reflect on the sacrifice when we take the bread and wine. That's what we do. It's very sobering, humbling, and deeply personal to think what was done on our behalf. His blood allowed death to pass over us. The firstborn, the blood to pass over the firstborn, just like the Israelites. The firstborn in the time of Egypt were going to die unless what? They had the blood of a lamb on the doorpost. The same thing for us. We are on a death path to death, and Christ's blood allowed death to pass over for his firstborn. The body of Jesus is broken, and his blood was spilled on our behalf. Remembering is a focus area for us to prepare for Passover. Remembering that we were called, what we're called from. You know, we remember where we came from, where we were when God called us, the path we were on, the course we were on, and where we're heading. And we remember the sacrifice that took place so we could have life and not be dead to sin. The next focus area of preparing for the Passover is examining. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27. We'll start there. 1 Corinthians 11 says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the blood, of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." Before Passover, we examine ourselves. The Corinthians, in this case, were not taking Passover in a worthy manner. You know, part of the problem was that they had divisions in the ranks, in the church, and they were not taking Passover together with a spirit of humility and unity. You know, when there's division in a group, you know, there usually is abundance of pride and very little humility. Part of Passover is to examine ourselves for pride. You know, pride puffs up. When pride is present, when pride is absent, you know, we can be humble. We have an humble attitude. And we see ourselves not superior or better than anybody else. You know, that's what the Corinthians were doing. Some of them were seeing themselves as elevated or better, and others were maybe below them in some way. And there's division, and there's pride, and there's problems. But when there is no pride, and we see ourselves for really what we are, and there's humility, we see ourselves, and all of us are in the same boat. We see that every one of us are exactly the same, in the same place, in the same boat. And what is that boat? That we all, every one of us, have fallen short and need God's grace and mercy and forgiveness. We have all fallen short and need God's mercy. And that's made available through the sacrifice that Jesus, on our behalf, did. We don't have any reason to feel superior or better or higher than anybody else. We all, quite simply, are in the same boat, a boat of sinners that need God's sacrifice and the blood of Jesus Christ to help us be reconciled to Jesus, to God, the Father. With humility, we can have an attitude of service and esteeming others better than ourselves. Before Passover, we take time to especially examine those attitudes deep in our hearts that lead to pride. And that's examining. The focus area of preparing is examining. Part of the focus area of Passover that goes hand in hand with examining is the next focus area, purging. We examine and we purge. It doesn't make sense, you know, to find leaven in our house unless we remove the leaven. You know, can you imagine, "Hey, honey, I found this big box of Triscuits down in the basement behind these boxes," and then you leave them there. It doesn't make any sense, right? You have to purge. You got to get it out of the house. You know, that's part of preparing. You purge. You know, not only do you find it, you examine, you look around, and you look for things and in the cleaning of your house, but we do that in our own lives, right? You don't leave the leaven there. Oh, you know, I found this frozen bread, you know, in the second freezer that we have in the garage, and you leave it there. You don't do that. Or you find something in the car. You don't leave those things there. You get rid of it. You purge it. That's part of preparing. You purging those things out, examining and purging. We take time as we approach Passover to examine our hearts and minds, and we look for areas that are not godly. We identify areas where there's still aspects of our carnal nature still existing. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 5, and we'll read in verse 6. Start there. Here Paul says to the Corinthians, your glorifying is not good. You know, they were just, you know, not in a good spot. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Examining has to be combined with purging. Paul identifies the old leaven as our malice and wickedness. You know, so let's focus on malice. You know, that if you look up words that are similar to malice, you come up with hatred, meanness, you know, meanness, nastiness, spite. You know, our human nature can maintain these types of lumps of leaven, and we don't even know it's there sometimes. You know, spite and nastiness sometimes comes out. They're still lodged somewhere deep in our hearts that come out at times. Unless it's removed, it can spread. As Paul says, remove those things. You know, it's like leaven. It spreads and eventually keeps going, and the whole, for you know, everything is leavened. We ask God to help us purge these lumps of old leaven out, and we replace it with God's nature through His Spirit. You see our deep need for forgiveness and our need for Jesus' sacrifice to be applied to us. We purge out the old leaven that may be still hiding in our hearts, and when we do that, we can come before God in sincerity and truth. Sincerity means genuineness, honesty, authentic. We are coming before God in a genuine, authentic manner when we do this. You know, we purge out the old leaven. We're not pretending that we're something we're not. You know, that's hypocrisy. We're not coming to Passover pretending that we're something we're not. We're not hypocritical in that way. But in a genuine, that we see our true nature and know that God does too. We come in, I see myself the way I am, and we know that God sees us the way we are. Nothing to hide. This leads to coming before Him in a truthful manner of how much we need Him and His Spirit in us to be godly. Without God's power in us and His power and His Spirit, we cannot be godly. We can't be in the right mindset and removing the old leaven and having the new leaven in place of that. It is simply being honest with God as we attend Passover. It isn't about beating ourselves up and making ourselves feel really bad, but simply being honest about the old leaven that still exists and asking God for repentance and His assistance in removing the leaven from our lives and understanding deeply our ongoing need for Christ's sacrifice to make us clean. When we see what God has done for us and how much we need His mercy and how God is willing to give us mercy and forgiveness, now that leads to our next focus area as we prepare for Passover. And that is forgiving others, the focus of forgiving. As we see ourselves, our need for Christ's sacrifice and forgiveness and mercy, we can be forgiving and merciful to others who may have wronged us. Let's turn to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 20. I'll read this. Ephesians 4, verse 20. And here Paul is talking to the Ephesians, and in verse 20 he says, but you have not so learned Christ, And indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Do not grieve the Spirit. So here we see put off the old man, putting on the new man. This sounds very similar to what we just read about purging out the old leaven and having the leaven of unleavened bread, you know, replacing the new leaven. Similar thoughts, similar ideas. Let's add to what we just read in Corinthians going on verse 25 here. Let's keep going in verse 25. Therefore, he says, putting away lying. This is the old man, the old leaven. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. So let's not, this is the things we are supposed to put away, and we're supposed to let everyone speak in truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Be not angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give who has need. That's an interesting reason to work sometimes, is you can help others. And verse 29, let no corrupt word, again, the old leaven, still there, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that we may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Again, more of the old leaven, the old man. Verse 32, this is what we should be focusing on, should be replacing it with. But be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. As we put off the old man, we see how much we need God's forgiveness. God, through Christ, forgave us. Therefore, we should forgive others. That's what it says. Be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Passover is not the place to be holding a grudge or having bitterness towards others. God forgave us, was very merciful to us. We can be merciful to others and forgive others. Let's go to the next focus point. As we observe Passover with a mindset that reflects the seriousness of soberness, we should have appreciation. We should be appreciating and glorifying God for his plan. The focus area is to have the appreciating and glorifying of God for his plan. We observe Passover with a mindset that reflects the seriousness and soberness of Passover. Because Passover is a memorial of the death of Jesus the Christ. But we also have joy for what God has done for us and the victory Jesus has over death, had over death and sin, which allows us to partake in the promises of God. The Israelites were not just saved from bondage. They were delivered and brought into the promised land. The final focus area to prepare for Passover is appreciating and glorifying God for his plan of salvation and his promises that he will deliver on. As we reviewed what God and Christ have done for us, we read Ephesians 2, verse 1 through 3. Earlier, you know, so if you remember, we started off in Ephesians 2, verse 1 through 3, and that talked about being called out of this world and on a different path in the course of this world you're called from. If we read further, we see what God has called us to be a part of. We sort of see that glimpse. It's just not just calling us out of the course of the world we're on, but he's calling us to something. Let's read, if you turn back to Ephesians 2, if you can flip back to Ephesians, we'll pick up where we left off in Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, and we'll start in verse 4, where we're just talking about the course that we're on and being delivered from that course, that path that we're on, which we were dead in trespasses and sin. And he says, you know, so not only were we called to a different path, but it says in verse 4, Ephesians 2, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, God did not just deliver the Israelites out of Egypt and say, okay, I got you out of Egypt. There you go. See you later. You know, the rest is up to you. Good luck. You know, he didn't do that. I mean, God did not just get them out of Egypt, did he? And leave them there. Say, you know, you're on your own now. I did my part. The rest is up to you. He had a plan, a place for them to go. He was going to bring them into the promised land, a land described as a land full of milk and honey. And it goes on and on about this promised land and where he was going to take them. And he took them there. God has a plan, a destiny for those he has delivered out of this world. His exceeding riches of his kindness are still ahead of us in the ages to come, as it says. We see this idea repeated throughout the Bible. Let's look at a few places. Let's turn to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. We'll read in verse 3. First Peter 1, verse 3, Peter says, "Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a what? A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To what? To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." The Israelites had an inheritance of the promised land. God has an inheritance, a destiny, a living hope for those he has called out of this world. When we see what God has done and will do, and we know that his promises are sure, we have a focus area of appreciating and glorifying God for who he is and what he's willing to do as we approach Passover. He's taking us somewhere. Passover is a part of the plan. It gets us, but it's just not Christ dying for us. That's a big part of it, but it's also he has a plan, a future plan, of what he's going to do for those who are called by him. And that's something we can appreciate and focus on and think about, and also a part of our preparation, be very excited about, appreciative of, and I glorify God for what he's going to do for his first fruits and what he's doing for all mankind ultimately. So let me conclude here. You know, Passover is an observance we prepare for, so we properly honor the sacrifice that Jesus is willing to do for us, or did for us. He willingly died for us. And then we prepare for that appropriately. We rightfully should put time in to being worthy and prepared for the Passover service. The focus areas of remembering, examining, purging, forgiving, and appreciating help in our preparation as we assemble here on Thursday night as one body, acknowledging our need for God's forgiveness and mercy that comes through the death of our Lord and Savior for forgiveness of our sins. For those who are baptized, we'll see you here Thursday night.